Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. This is a special edition episode tonight. We try to do it once a winter. This is the ladies' night episode. So we're going to be talking to some of the ladies of Red Sox Nation, kind of getting their take on the vibe of what we're about to witness. You know, could be a horror show. We don't know. Could be comedy, could be epic. But so we're going to be getting into a number of things. So we'll bring them in one by one. First, in the leadoff position tonight is Gabby. She's
hey
been
guys.
Listening to the show for a while, so she knows all about us. And so what's going on? Where are you from generally?
So I am originally from Massachusetts. I was actually born there, but I am now a Florida transplant. I have been in Florida for 6 years now. The weather is definitely better down here, but you know, there's something about the Northeast charm that, you know, you can't replace.
So as we all know, you know, I'm in the South now. So do you like Florida? Like, it's not too hot?
You definitely get acclimated to it. I actually moved down in July. So it was really hot when I first moved down here and it was pretty miserable. But as the years have gone on, I've actually adjusted and I don't feel so hot during the summertime. And I actually get cold during the winter, which is new for me. But
yeah, I heard it was like, in spring training, like the first week, it was like in the morning down at Fort Myers, it was like in the 40s. Like,
and yeah, they were all like, actually, it has been. It's been crazy. And the thing is like, it can be in the 40s, like during the night, and then during the day, it's in the 80s. And it's like a 40 degree stretch, and everybody's allergies are like off the wall. And it's miserable. It's not a good time. I wish it would just pick one or the other, not both.
So are you near the ocean or no?
I'm pretty close. Yeah. I'm about 15 minutes from the ocean. Not far at all.
That's how it is for me in Myrtle Beach. I'd never swam in a warm ocean before and it's like amazing.
Yeah. It's like a bathtub. It's pretty weird.
Up in Maine, you dive in, you're in shock and you've got like 7 minutes and
yes,
you're getting
and
out.
Then he has hypothermia.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. All right. So the next contestant is actually, she runs our Instagram account and she's actually embedded in the war room with us. So she gets all the raw reactions, the frustration, lots of probably, I don't know, F-bombs and stuff we don't say on the podcast. She gets the authentic bastards experience. Lori, how are you?
I am doing very well, thank you. Spectacular, you might say.
Okay. Positive vibes. And where are you from?
I am from Connecticut. Not necessarily proud of that, but it is what it is.
You shouldn't be. Yeah. And so are you like in like the mesh zone? Because, you know, part of the state, it could be New York fans, could be Red Sox fans.
Yeah, it's absolutely like a DMZ line.
Okay.
Like South Korea. Like, and it's mostly northeastern section. It's a divided line diagonal across the state. All of northeastern and eastern sections are all Red Sox. And the western and southwestern, all Yankees.
Got it. New York would be playing the role of North Korea in this.
Yes, that would be correct. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. All right, and then the one holdover from last year, because she's my Twitter BFF, is Kayla. So, how are you tonight? Kayla might be frozen.
Doing good. Thanks for having me back on.
There she is. It was probably the mute button.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, no, you're good. Charlie's been on this show for like 5 years and he can't remember to unmute.
That.
You know, so yeah. So where's Kayla from again?
So I'm from Massachusetts.
Okay. Very masshole heavy tonight. Yeah. You didn't escape yet, yeah, like Gabby did. Do you want to stay in Mass? Like, is that...
No, well, I did for a few years. Yeah, I escaped for a few years. I went to New Hampshire. I lived in Manchester for about three-ish years, and I moved back to Mass, to my hometown, about 5 years ago. So,
okay,
can't get away.
Well, I mean, in some ways, there's no place like home. If I visit, it's going to be, you know, in the warmer weather. But all right. So I've got some just kind of break the ice type questions. Not that it feels like we really need to break the ice at this point, but let's just do it before we get into the baseball. This is the easiest one of all. I'm more curious about Lori's selections here, but we're going to stay in order. So Gabby, best two pizza toppings. What are they? Nothing weird. Come on.
Oh no. I heard you guys talk about this once upon a time. I like black olives on my pizza.
Oh god.
And I also like pineapple. So don't shoot me, but yes.
My girlfriend literally ordered that exact pizza and I almost had her arrested. Like you don't put those two things together.
Okay, but like, do you like cauliflower crust?
Oh, come on. We're not even eating pizza at this point.
No, but you know, if you're trying to be carb friendly, that's a good way to do it.
Okay.
I think it's good.
My girlfriend did do something with cauliflower. I couldn't remember what it was. It might have been in place of rice or something.
Or mashed potatoes.
Oh, that's what it was. No, yes, that's exactly what it was. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So... You kind of stole the thunder because I know Lori is of Italian descent and pineapple is very polarizing.
Wait. On that note, I just spent a week with a bunch of Italians. Last week I was up in Massachusetts and part of my married in family is Italian. And they put eggplant on pizza. And I was like, that is like serial killer stuff. Like, who does that? And they're all just eating it happily. And I'm like, what's wrong with you people?
Yeah, that's too brave for me. But
no. But
go ahead, Lori. Let's hear it.
Oh, well, okay. First of all, I am down with bacon and pineapple. I'm totally
that's
okay.
Mine. That's my go-to.
I am very well aware of this. But... my Sicilian grandmother preferred anchovies. Oh. And so that was a thing. That was a thing. But if somebody said, let me buy you a pizza, gosh, and I live in Connecticut, so I'm not far from New Haven. So I got Sally's, I got Pepe's, I got Moderna Pete's. So I actually like garlic and spinach on a white pizza. It's pretty yummy.
Man. I didn't think this was going to be so disgusting, but Kayla, you got to save the day. Let's hear it, Kayla.
Well, Lori, I have to say I love the garlic and spinach. Cannot get enough garlic. Anytime I cook, if it says put 2 cloves of garlic, I'm putting in like 6 to 10. I'm not going to lie. But if I am ordering a pizza, I'm going to have to say I will go for a Caprese pizza as my go-to with balsamic on it.
So what's
gotta have
Caprese?
The balsamic, please.
What's Caprese?
So that has tomato, basil, and mozzarella. It has cheese too, but sometimes most places they put like the slices of mozzarella.
Okay, that does sound interesting. Sounds kind of authentic, even. But yeah, all right. Next one. This one could be an easy one. Cycling back to Gabby here. Who is your favorite stand-up comedian?
Oh, Matt Rife.
Okay.
I love Matt Rife. Honestly, he's great.
I only saw his most recent one, but I've seen like a million different clips on Facebook, and he is really funny.
Yeah, I found him, I think, on Instagram, like maybe right before he got really big, and I've just kind of watched it like explode. And yeah, now I have come to the realization I'll never be able to afford to see him, but I think it would be really cool.
Yeah, and he plays with the crowd better than any comedian I've ever seen.
Yes, he does. I like that a lot. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Lori, if you have one, your favorite stand-up comedian.
I know. I feel like I'm the old woman of the crew, so it's like this whole stand-up comedian thing is kind of not in my world anymore. But back in the day, I really liked George Carlin. He was phenomenally brilliant, like super cerebral, and I loved that about him. But Robin Williams, man, I grew up with Robin Williams as the stand-up comic, and nobody's ever going to beat him. I'm sorry, but that's fact.
There's just no one like him. I mean, he was just funny on the spot. Like, he could write his material on the fly right in front of you and rehearse it, and it's still funny. My favorite bit he ever did, he was making fun of Viagra, and he was like, he goes, people are having heart attacks on it and dying. And he goes, how would they even get the coffin lid closed? And he's pretending to be up against his friend's coffin. And he goes, good God, I don't remember Pete being that way. Kids, go get the horseshoes. And it's like, just on the fly.
He had one routine, Robin Williams live at the Met. If you've never seen it, please do yourself a favor and do that, because it's awesome.
Okay. Kayla, who's your choice? Who's your favorite?
I actually am not big into stand-up comedy, but I will say I do enjoy Robin Williams. And funny story, when I was younger, about 5 or 6, I loved Mrs. Doubtfire. Still love that movie. But my great-grandmother took myself and my cousins to McDonald's, and I repeated back the scene in the movie where Robin Williams is mocking his coworker, and he goes, piss off, Lou. And my great-grandmother looked at me and said, she was like taken back and was like, what did you say? I had no idea that I said a bad word or anything. So I was just like, you know, scared. So, but yeah, I haven't really dived into the stand-up comedy. So
I can do it for hours on Netflix. If I had a vote, Dave Chappelle just makes me laugh harder than anyone. So, you know, little bit of controversy with him, but I say dumb crap all the time. All right. Here's an easy one. This is a layup. Gabby, your least favorite Red Sox player ever.
Oh my God. I really, really despise David Price.
Oh, like, that's my pick.
Wholeheartedly. Could not stand him. Could not stand to see him go out on the field. Was so glad when he left. So glad.
I hated him when he was a Tampa Bay Ray, and I hated him even more when he got here.
I just felt like he was a little crybaby, you know.
I know. And he would always try to play hooky whenever he was scheduled to pitch in New York.
Yeah.
You know, that's how you
got.
Not
a team player. Not a team player.
You got the whole Fortnite thing from that. Lori.
One of my past is Pablo Sandoval. Couldn't stand him. And my current one is Bobby Dalbec. And I can't wait for him to not be a thing anymore. Please make that happen. Somebody, anybody.
Poor Bobby. But I feel you. I can't either at this point. He's a nice guy. You know, David Price, just the sound of his voice, just kind of, you know.
I heard Bobby's going to be the dark horse, though. That's what I heard. He's going to be the dark horse this year.
And
Sorry.
No, go ahead, Lori.
Bless his heart, but it just, I mean, he, A for effort, but get off my team because you're great in the spring training, but when it comes to being in the show, all of a sudden you get stage fright and it's just it's a poop show. So please, bye-bye.
Go ahead, Kayla.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like every year we hear that he's going to be like the dark horse, or he's going to make a team, or he's going to break out or do something. And then it's just nothing. I mean, oh yeah, I agree. Bobby Dalbec, not my favorite, not my favorite. Those are all really good choices, but I have to say currently mine's Bobby Dalbec as well.
Wow.
Seems like he's a nice guy. Probably be cool to hang out with, but I don't think he's a good baseball player, and I don't want him on my baseball team anymore.
Just trade him to the Rockies where he'll hit moonshots. He'll be all or nothing, you know, like Kyle Schwarber. But just let him go to a place where he can roam. He's a prisoner in Boston anyway. And as you can see on the show, it pisses people off. So, all right, here we go. Yeah,
he just needs to start over somewhere.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Here's a fun one. Gabby, Trump or Biden?
That's a very touchy subject. However, if we're just going off of policies and not the actual people themselves, I would say Trump for sure.
Yeah. All right, Lori.
Yeah, exactly. If we're just talking policies, I'm going to go with Trump.
Kayla.
Terry, you would ask something like this, but I'm going to agree with the girls.
Clean sweep. Full disclosure, I think I'm the only Trump guy on the regular crew. I haven't pulled anyone else recently, but, well, of course, Lori in the war room. But go ahead.
Well, I think now the guys should be stepping up a little bit, throwing down the gauntlet, as it were.
Yeah, we're on fire tonight. All right, here's this one. Could be a fun one. Gabby, most fraudulent excuse or reason you ever gave for calling out sick?
Oh God, I mean, I have kids, so I just blame it on my kids most of the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
So handy. I don't think I got dogs. I don't think that would work.
And you can say that you have to take them to the vet. Maybe they ate a sock. I mean,
oh,
you know,
Gabby's giving me some ideas.
Got to come out somehow.
Lori, go ahead.
Dude, you're taking me back. Like that is, I can't even remember the last time I did that. But when I did, I feel like it was just the old food poisoning excuse. That was usually my go-to. But yeah, that was. I think that's, I wish you would have asked, like, you know, how did you get out of a ticket? Like, what's the best way that you got out of a ticket?
Well, go for it.
Well, I mean, I've been honest when I've gone through like the DUI checks or whatever, or if I've gotten pulled over, like, so do you know you were speeding? I completely got lost in my thoughts, or well, I'll just tell the truth. And usually I can get out of them, which is crazy. I think Charlie said the same thing. on a podcast recently. So yeah, I vote for just being boldly honest. And I think it shocks cops more than anything. And they're like, oh, okay. And they just let you go.
Gabby.
So I actually love that episode where you guys talked about the speeding tickets, because as Charlie was telling his story, I was like, oh man, I've got such a good one. Because when I first moved to Florida, I'm talking like less than 30 days. They have tons of school zones everywhere. And there's also tons of traffic. And I remember I was pulling up, I still had Vermont tags at the time. I was pulling out of my daughter's school and there was like a small break in traffic. So I gunned it and got into traffic, and there was a cop right on the other side who nabbed me. And I was like, are you kidding me right now? So he pulls over. I'm shaking because I don't really ever get pulled over for anything. And he's like, you know why I pulled you over? And I just like burst into tears. I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm not even from here. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I didn't even know I was speeding. Like, I didn't know about school zones. Like, I'm so sorry. And he just felt so bad. And he's like, I just want you to know that this ticket is supposed to be $469. I was like, I don't even have a job yet. Like, what do you mean? I was so upset. And he's like, listen. He's like, I can tell you're going through a hard time right now. Like, I don't think that you really meant to do this. He's like, the most I can do is reduce it to $169, which is the minimum for speeding in a school zone. I was like, thank you. I really appreciate that. He's like, and you could get it reduced more if you try to go, like, if you go to the Florida driving school. I was like, no, thank you. I've seen how your people drive. I'm all set.
Be like, I'd just get more tickets if I went there.
Yeah. I was like, no, I'm good. Thanks.
All right. So, Kayla, I'll let you go either way with that, work or cop related.
Well, I feel like I'm pretty boring because I have never gotten a speeding ticket before. Work related, I've always been so scared of calling out. And I never really had a reason to. But if I did, it was usually blamed on my car or my son. However, when I was in college, I used to work at a hotel and I did banquet serving. And I also played soccer. And every year we had a preseason where we had to stay sober for like 2 to 3 weeks. And so the first weekend we got back, we had just won a tournament, stayed out all night with my friends, and I had to work at 6 in the morning. And I didn't call out. I went to work, and within 30 minutes, I was walked right out of work. And then I was called into HR the next day and told I didn't have a job anymore. So,
oh.
Yeah.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, my first job that I had down here in South Carolina, I got fired twice in the same week by the same company. So once on Monday, the last time on Wednesday. So all good.
We've been there. Yeah, and to be fair, one of my really good friends at the time, who was out with me, he tried very, very hard to get me to stay home and stay, you know, go to sleep. And I was very adamant about going to work. I didn't drive. A friend drove me because I didn't have a car at the time. So, you know.
I don't even see what the big deal is in a hotel banquet environment. You know, it's supposed to be a light atmosphere, and, you know, bartenders drink sometimes, you know, so I don't see what the big deal is. But
well, it could have been the fact that I was walking around yelling that I was in pain for some reason.
All right. Well, here's the last one. Gabby, was the moon landing real?
No.
Absolutely not. No. But that's how we feel. Lori, go ahead.
I plead the fifth. I don't know what kind of question that is.
So we're gonna check mark no next to Lori. And Kayla, go ahead.
But I feel like if I said it wasn't real, my girlfriend would kill me. So I'm gonna have to say it was real.
Really? Here's where I'm at with that. That was 54 years ago, okay?
Mm-hmm. She's a huge space fan, loves aliens.
Lori?
I think I was 55 because I was born the year that it happened.
69? You're right. It would be. I don't know what month it is. You know, 2024 is still new, but this year it will be 55 years. But so put that on one side and then think just 40 years before that, cars still weren't even commonplace yet in every American driveway. And somehow after 40 years from horse and buggy, we're on the moon, you know? And what have we done in the last 55 years? I don't know. You can like go down rabbit holes on TikTok with that. And it's just like, it's like convinces me even more, but yeah, that was the safest one I could go with in the conspiracy realm. But all right, let's get into it. Let's talk some Red Sox. The team is still incomplete, as we've been talking about on the show. Is there any way, Gabby, this team can be competitive as currently constituted?
I think no. But a small part of me is really like holding out hope that we're all going to be proven wrong. I'm really rooting for that small, small part. But as it stands, I feel like we have too many missing pieces, and the pieces we do have, I feel like we cannot rely on all of them. And I feel like this is the least excited I've been about a season ever.
Lori.
Yeah, I'm keeping expectations very low, but I do have a question for the ladies in particular. If I can hijack this for just a second.
Oh, yeah.
Are we at all open to Trevor Bauer being signed on to the Red Sox?
Absolutely, yes. 110%. I wish we did it already. I don't know why. Yeah, I don't understand why nobody has, because he was cleared of everything.
Right.
And we have people in the league who have done worse, and we're proven guilty of that. So I'm not really sure what we're doing. We've got nothing else going on, so why the heck not?
Yeah, that would.
And as Terry has pointed out a few times in some past episodes, we could sign him for cheap.
Exactly, because yeah. he's just trying to make his comeback. So he would probably take league minimum at this point, and you know, prove himself and get himself back out there.
Yeah, that's my thought exactly. Is that he's been cleared of everything? Did he do stupid things, and was he silly? Yes. Hopefully he's learned from all of that. It seems as though he has. I think that he needed to have a little bit of humble pie to kind of straighten him out a bit. But I'm all in, and we could have signed him for cheap. I mean, the theory is that he would be box office poison, so to speak. But I would have liked to have taken our chance on it, because there's no rhyme or reason as to what the front office is putting together. They have this great vision, and that's fine. Let us in on what the vision is so we can at least understand what in the name of Sam Hill you're doing.
And you say box office poison, but I mean, honestly, what are they doing now? It's all bad.
See, I think I talked about this on a recent episode.
Yeah, I don't even see the direction they're going in.
Marcell Ozuna of the Braves was seen on police body cam with his hands around his wife's neck, verbally saying he's going to kill her. He was arrested, pled to a lesser charge, served his MLB suspension, and he's back in Major League Baseball. Trevor Bauer not only hasn't been convicted of anything, he's never been charged with anything. But there's a difference between Bauer and Ozuna. And that difference is Marcell Ozuna, in the years leading up to that, never trashed Rob Manfred publicly over policies, rule changes, and all that. Trevor Bauer has. So to me, that's why he's not back. That's exactly why. Lori?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's your explanation right there, and which is ridiculous. Like, really, it's just ridiculous. And it also makes me think of, is it Herman on the Yankees that he also has a litany of things against him as well. And yet he's still in. Like, how do you even equate that and explain that? There's no logical sense to it. It's just a matter of pride, which is ridiculous.
Herman has, you know, domestic abuse and substance abuse. I mean, how much more toxic can you get?
Right, exactly.
So what are you guys' thoughts on Alex Cora? That's going to be a borderline elephant in the room type thing all year. And that's probably mostly the Red Sox fault at this point. But how do you feel about it, Gabby? Are you pro Cora? Are you looking forward to the next chapter?
I don't mind Cora, honestly. I think that he's really tried to do the best he can with what he has. I think he's going to be looking to leave, and I don't blame him for that. I have nothing bad to say about Cora.
Lori, thoughts on Cora?
I'm kind of ambivalent about Cora. He could stay or go. Yeah, okay, he's tried to do the best he can. I understand that. I do think it would be bad for the clubhouse culture if he were to leave. I feel as though because he's bilingual and he can communicate, he can make his points clear. But is he my favorite? No. I mean, I still hold the torch for Tito, but those days are long gone.
Kayla.
Yeah, I don't hate Cora, but I also wouldn't be sad, you know, to see him go. I also don't think that he wants to stay with the Red Sox. I mean, I think he's mentioned before he doesn't want to coach forever. And I think with everything that's happened, not only last year, but the last couple or few years, I think he's had it. And I think he just wants out of the organization.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to test the market. But yeah, go ahead, Gabby.
I also want to say that I hope that, like, his impending departure is not going to affect him, his coaching this season, or like the culture in the clubhouse. Like, I would hate to see that happen. I don't want to see any extra negativity because of that.
The interesting thing to me will be, number one, how are we doing by mid-June? Are we competitive? Are we not competitive? And if we're not competitive, Devers, bad defender. Vaughn Grissom has a nice bat from what we've heard, but his defensive numbers not good. And he's going to be the second baseman. And then Casas, not a good year. So when he's getting, when Cora's getting questions game after game about the bad defense, then how candid is he going to be? Lori.
Well, I'll defer to Kayla because I think you had you were kind of trying to jump in there a little bit.
Oh, thank you. I was going to say, going off of what Gabby was saying, I think like the beat writers have already tried to make like a story out of it this year of what is going to happen with Cora. And he's already said, like, I don't want that to be the focus. And, you know, that's not good for the clubhouse or the culture anyways, is having that be the focus of the season. You know, what's going to happen with our manager, so.
Yeah.
And I think that I think frustrations for him are rising just because the front office doesn't seem to be listening to him. He's trying to tell them, I need this, I want that. And they've got with this other vision, whatever, that they don't care to share with anybody, so we can all know what's going on. And he probably just feels completely helpless. I mean, we keep going back to the island of misfit toys for people. And I'd rather just get those important pieces so he feels like he's got a good structured team to work with all throughout the year. And that would lend positivity to the clubhouse, to the coaching, it even just to us as the fan base, so that we at least like all be like, okay, let's try to go ahead and do this.
if you go back to 2021 when he was rehired, he was probably just happy to be back. I mean, we've talked about Trevor Bauer just not even being able to get his foot in the door. For Cora, he was able to, and it probably helped that AJ Hinch got hired as well before even he did. But man, if he could have, if he had that crystal ball and could have looked ahead and thought, man, that's what they're going to give me every year. That's what I'm going to have to be juggling. The worst pitching I've ever seen, the worst defense I've ever seen. I'm not an Alex Cora guy either, but it could be worse. I mean, I'm a John Farrell survivor, and the next guy is just going to be a yes man for Breslow in the analytics department. You know, Cora is going to do his own thing, but Kayla, go ahead.
So just for comparison, I don't know if anybody else follows basketball or not, but I will say what the Red Sox needs is a Brad Stevens in the front office. Brad Stevens for the Celtics knows how to get the players that they need. So I think they need to recruit somebody like him, or maybe recruit Brad Stevens himself.
Well, I mean, that was a big topic, you know, Cora going to the front office, not popular in our war room, but it gets definitely brought up. But Gabby, go ahead.
I don't think it's a matter of not being able to sign people. I think they're just choosing not to. I think they're trying to allocate their funds elsewhere with other teams. And I think the Red Sox just are put on the back burner for now. And maybe they're hoping, and this is just pure speculation, I don't know, but I think maybe they're hoping that these other teams will start generating revenue, and then the Red Sox will be a comeback team. I don't know, though.
Lori?
Well, can we also just be glad that Dave Bush is gone? Are we all happy about that? Because
yes.
I threw a party that day. I said, ding dong, the witch is dead. Let's move on. This is phenomenal.
Yeah, it seems like the Red Sox are really banking on Andrew Bailey. I think that's a part of why they're kind of standing pat. They're like, if he can just get a little bit more out of Crawford, if he can get Houck through the order the third time through, suddenly, I mean, if those two things happen, then, with Giolito, Bayo, you're going to have a pretty formidable rotation. But go ahead, Lori.
If we could just sign Montgomery, which makes the most sense in all the world, then I don't ever want to see Whitlock be a starter. Can we just please put him back in the bullpen or as a closer or anything like that? Because he doesn't do well. Why have we not learned this? Didn't we pick up anything from last year? He doesn't do well as a starter. I think Houck has owned he's earned his keep. I would be okay with him, but please just let's not do that to poor Whitlock.
He breaks easy, and he gave a comment at some point, I think it was in January, they hadn't reported yet, where he said he was, two winters ago, he was working out with Evaldi, and Evaldi is a psychopath. I mean, he just pushes himself to the limits, and Whitlock ended up, hurting himself. And I forget who it was last winter. It might have been Chris Sale. And even his routine was too intense for Whitlock. So he said this year he's bulked up a little and he's trying to, go at his own pace. And he thinks that's what's going to, lead to better health. But I don't believe it. I'm not sold. I think I agree with you in that, he should just stay in the pen. But either Lori or Kayla.
Well, I'm also glad that Sala's gone.
Oh, yeah.
He could not stay healthy to save his life. And that might be controversial to say, but I mean, his workout was too intense for Whitlock. What in the world was Sale doing, and how did he not break while doing these workouts? That's what I want to know.
Or let's go with Kayla. She was up next.
Lori, you stole my thought. That was my exact thought. I was happy the day that Sale was gone. too. I mean, not that I'm appreciative of, you know, his time here, but I mean, enough was enough. He was just always hurt. You couldn't depend on him. Like, you know, and the poor guy was just getting beaten down by the fans. It's like, nobody deserves that. So, I mean, hopefully he has a, you know, rejuvenates himself in Atlanta, but yeah.
He had 4 strikeouts today, and Atlanta fans were like, yeah. I'm like, well, give it till late May and see where he's at. Gabby?
I was going to comment on the Chris Sale thing too. I was glad to see him leave because I really do feel like he just needed a change. I feel like Boston was not doing it for him anymore. But I have a feeling that he's going to do really well in Atlanta, and I think we're all going to be kicking ourselves. But he wouldn't have gotten to that point in Boston. I think he just really needed something new.
There's no pressure in Atlanta because he's their number 4, and that's all he needs to be. In Boston, he had to be the number 1 or the number 2, and it just wasn't realistic. But Kayla?
I don't know. Did you guys hear that quote that he had where he said Boston, it was the best of, you know, days of his life and like the worst days of his life? I don't know if you guys heard that, but how do you feel about him saying that?
I thought it was fair. You know, it wasn't like David Price going off about, you know, it's all us and not about him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was a fair statement because I don't think he was always terrible. Just kind of towards the end of it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's fair. I mean, he got a World Series. I mean, he pitched that last inning, and that had to be a tremendous moment for him. But, he can't ride a bike. So, I mean, I would imagine that it is a very balanced, you know, experience that he's had. Like, it's been great, and it sucked. And that's just the way it is. I think it's fair.
Nope.
He has terrible luck, though. It's the bike. It's the comebacker that broke his finger. I mean, this guy, he just could not catch a break. I mean, you can't help but feel bad for him a little bit.
Yeah, no, that was his problem. He couldn't catch the break. And so that was the problem.
The brakes kept catching him. Nobody remembers this because it was in Chicago, but I want to say around 2013, 2014 during spring training, he was home and he had just stepped off the back. He was standing like on the back bumper of his truck getting something situated, and he just kind of hopped down, and that's what, 2 feet maybe, and he broke his ankle. So he's even been that way his whole career, really. Kayla?
I actually had a roommate in college, and she was on my soccer team, and she broke her foot the same exact way, like 2 weeks before we moved in. She couldn't play our first freshman year.
Oh.
Jumped right off the back of her truck, and wasn't a high jump or anything, just hopped off and broke her foot.
I've never broken anything in my life. I've like pulled muscles and sprained my ankle, I guess, but it's just crazy how some people are prone to stuff. So here's a good one, kind of near and dear to my heart, but Gabby, is Jaren Duran touchable or untouchable in a trade?
He's probably touchable, but it would break my heart because I really do love him. And side note, I was at the game at Fenway. It was my first time at Fenway, where the Blue Jays absolutely destroyed us. So you're welcome. I was probably the bad luck charm for that. But they were booing him so bad, and I felt so bad because I'm like, he's just a baby. But honestly, he really did like pull through last year, and he really had a great season before he got hurt. So I would really like him to stay with us, but I mean, look at all the moves they're doing. I would not be surprised if they traded him.
Was that the game where he lost the ball in the lights or no?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. That had to have been it. Schwarber did the same thing in his defense, or no, it was Arroyo rather. Just completely
well,
lost it.
Arroyo was terrible too. He was awful.
Yeah.
I won't miss him either.
No, I think he's with the Brewers now, but go ahead, Lori.
It would break my heart. He had such a good year last year, and he really proved himself in terms of his wheels and his speed, and it was just, and the base stealing, it was great. I don't want to see him go anywhere, but he probably will be, and they'll just leave Bobby Dalbec, and I'll have no consolation, and I'll just be sad all the time because I'll still have Bobby. But I think, just to be fair, in terms of the bad luck charms, didn't both games that you went to, didn't you guys lose? Like we lost both games that you guys attended. I said you couldn't attend anymore.
Charlie was with me actually in the first game, and Evaldi got lit up, and it is what it is. But 2 weeks later in the one game wild card, it was the same exact matchup, Evaldi versus Cole. And so at least they lost the right game, you know, because if they lost that one, it would have been way worse. And then the next night I was there with my friend, Andy, shout out to him. He's in one of my Facebook groups, but I think that was when Darwin's in gave up the grand slam to Stanton. And then we had to sing Sweet Caroline right after. It was, it was adorable, as Charlie would say. So go ahead, Lori.
I'm glad Darwin's in is gone as well.
Oh my goodness.
He was a hot mess. He was too young, too wild, had no control over the pitches. And I just, from the jump, I just had a bad vibe that it was just not going to work out.
And he had a lot of hype coming up. You know, there was a lot of hype behind him, and it just didn't work. But Kayla, what are your thoughts on Duran?
Yeah, I don't think he's untouchable. I mean, he's definitely exciting. To watch him, you know, turn singles into doubles and triples, because, you know, not many people can do that, but I don't think he's untouchable. I agree. I would be sad to see him go for maybe a second, but then I'd get over it, because the next young kid with wheels is going to come up, or we'll pick him up somewhere. You know, I don't think that makes him being fast doesn't make him untouchable or anything.
Yeah. I mean, he had good, you know, bat to ball last year. You know, he was hitting for good contact, not so much for power. But for me, it's like, what if we traded Jacoby Ellsbury in 2007 or 2008, and then we missed out on all of that? You know, he was so good for us. Stole home against the Yankees. I'd hate to look back and be like, man, we had him and he was showing us what it could be. And yeah. So Gabby, go ahead.
And he's definitely been putting in the work this offseason. Like, I don't know if you follow him on Instagram at all, but I follow him, and he is jacked. And I can't wait to watch him play, like, in a real game.
So is Tyler O'Neill, too. Apparently, they don't have weights heavy enough, apparently, in the facility down there. But where he gets injured all the time, if you think about 51st Dates, Drew Barrymore's brother, I forget his character name, it's Sean Astin, but if O'Neill plays less than 80 games, I'm telling my kids that he was in 51st Dates, and that's who Tyler O'Neill was. Lori?
Did you know that I believe his father was Mr. Canada, and O'Neill's claim to fame is that he only has like 3% body fat, which is like, what? It just makes your brain skip a beat.
Yeah. I mean, Gabe Kapler was, you know, built like a Marvel character, but, you know, not, it just never really translated, you know, in terms of offense.
His name is Doug. I looked it up. His name is Doug.
Okay. Doug, right. Yeah. Yeah. Any more thoughts, Kayla, or no?
No.
Who do you guys think's going to win the division? Three teams could. The Orioles
not
traded.
Us.
Not us, yeah. The Orioles traded for Corbin Burns, so that's going to be really interesting, but
it really pains me to say this, but I feel like the Yankees are going to make a good run.
That is painful, but probably could be accurate. I mean, if
I mean, what have the Rays done? I haven't heard boo about the Rays all offseason. The Orioles were trading away pieces. Blue Jays can never seem to get it done. I mean, they got Justin Turner, which, I mean, good for them. But, I mean, other than that, we haven't done anything. So that just leaves the Yankees.
Kayla.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's between the Orioles and the Yankees. But I just don't trust that all of those players in the Yankees are going to stay healthy. And, I mean, it came out that Judge has that lingering toe issue, too. Who knows what's going to happen, if that's going to keep him out this year or not. But I just don't trust that all of those players that the Yankees got are going to stay healthy.
To me, with the Yankees, the X factor is Carlos Rodon. If he goes into that rotation and finally gives you a healthy year, Cole is going to be nasty. We know that. I don't know if they'll win the Cy Young 2 years in a row. Nestor Cortez, I think, is healthy. And they might get Blake Snell. So it's looking kind of scary. And I think that line, Alex Verdugo is going to have a great year. And he'll probably have his act together. I think Yankees fans are really going to like him. And they got that short porch. He might hit 30 home runs in that stadium. Who knows? But it's hard. And then Soto, not looking forward to it. Lori?
I think Verdugo is enough of a head case to play when he plays pissed, he's going to play well. And I think that's going to be a terrible bounce back for us. You know, he's going to have that revenge body that chicks try to get when the guy breaks up with them. And he's going to be strutting that around, I think, on us. And it's going to get ugly. I do think that, you know, the whole idea of everybody staying healthy on the Yankees, if that happens, then they've had a miracle year, for sure. If they do get Blake Snell, yeah, that definitely increases the chances. But I feel like the Orioles are going to be sneaky good, and I don't want to sleep on them.
I think they could easily win another 100 games. But who do you think is going to be, Kayla?
I agree. I think the Orioles are going to be, you know, good and sneaky, and I think they're going to take it.
Yeah, and they lost. I think it's Bradish is going to miss a lot of time. I don't know if it's the full season or not, but so I don't know if they're going to try to sneak in one more pitcher or not. But it's going to be fun, and I think Justin Turner to the Blue Jays. That lineup has needed like some secret sauce, and it might be him. He might be the spark that finally gets that offense going on all cylinders, and they have the pitching. So it's hard. They, like Gabby said, I mean, they always underachieve. So, you know, you got to see it before we can believe it. Lori.
Am I the only one of us that, I'm so sad Justin Turner's gone. He was such a leader last year. And I'm glad to see that it seems like Rafi is stepping into that role. For him to be able to speak out was a really big deal, I felt, because he's been so reticent to do it before now. But I just, there was something about Justin Turner that just, he was such a dirt dog. And I just loved that about him. And I'm really going to miss that.
The Red Sox never even gave him an offer. But Kayla.
Yeah, I was sad that he was gone, because he was a good, you know, leader in the clubhouse. Like, he had a good presence about him. But I do think that it is a good sign that Rafi, you know, speaks up, because, you know, last year he got that big contract, and it was kind of expected of him to be the leader of the team, the face of the team. And I just don't really feel like he filled that role last year, and him speaking out this year, I feel like is a positive sign. And you know what, I want him to get mad, and I want him to call out the front office and say, you know, this isn't right. We need help. We need players. This is what we need, because if he's going to be the leader, he has to speak up. He's got to lead.
Gabby.
Going back to Justin Turner, I was very sad to see him leave, but not surprised because I know that the Red Sox did not offer him anything. And even if they did, why would he want to stay? I feel like he was definitely the piece that we needed last year and probably could have used this year as well. But I think he's a very, like overall, like a wholesome person. And it kind of like, not that they're like super similar, but it kind of like reminded me of Brock Holt, because Brock Holt, I feel like, was also very wholesome, very involved with the community and stuff like that. So very sad to see both of them leave. Touching back to Rafi, I listened to his interview and he doesn't sound like super confident as a leader of the clubhouse. I mean, at this point, he's probably been there the longest, right? At this point,
he has.
Or pretty close. Yeah. So, I mean, it just makes sense that he goes into that role, but I'm not sure why he doesn't want to fulfill that position, because A, he's been there the longest. B, he's got the only contract at this point that lasts more than 2 years. But I also wonder if some of it is like the language barrier too, if that is a factor, like maybe he's not super confident because he can't communicate fluently with everyone. I'm not really sure.
Kayla.
So Gabby, you brought up some really good points, and I definitely agree with the, you know, the part about Rafi and the communication aspects. But part of me wonders, like, does he actually want to fill that role as the leader? Like, because he hasn't stepped up to that at this point, like, does he even actually like want to be that person, you know, that outspoken leader?
Lori.
Side note, I miss Brock. I'm just going to say that. That's my side note. But in terms of Rafi stepping into leadership, for him to come out and say what he said, he's got a 10-year contract and he's here for a while and he's coming into his power years. So hopefully he'll do well for us. But I think that with Justin Turner gone, he's kind of saying, okay, I guess there's nobody for me to hide behind anymore, because he's really the cornerstone of the team at this point. And so he's realizing that. And I think that his comments about his frustrations with the front office reflect that. And I think I'm going to look forward to seeing him stepping into that more and more, because I think we're getting a glimpse of what the year could potentially be.
I think with Rafi, I mean, he has been here a while, as Gabby pointed out. And I think he's just getting more pissed off and more pissed off. And it's just natural. Like, it's almost, you know, it's just reactionary at this point. Like, he just can't help himself. And I think the longer we have these underwhelming rosters, I think he's just going to get more vocal. Go ahead, Lori.
Well, and didn't they promise him that they were going to build the team around him? And I mean, it's not happening. So this is the second, you know, I mean, yeah, okay, it's only the first signing, the first year after the signing, but really kind of technically the second. And yet there's still no team being built around him. So he's got to feel like, wait a minute, did you just bait and switch me?
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, some people, Red Sox are trying to give you the impression that they're in this rebuild. But if you go back to 2022, I mean, they spent big on Story. They brought in Waka. They brought in Hill. That wasn't a rebuild year. They were trying to compete, whether they admit it or not. And then last year, you don't add $16 million for Jansen, $8 million for Martin. And if you're in a rebuild, you don't put that unprecedented amount of money into your bullpen. So it's just, it's just dumb. But Kayla, go ahead.
Yeah, and I wonder too, well, he has to be, but part of his frustration, you know, is the fact that he doesn't know what direction this team is even going in, because they're not adding those pieces. You know, we don't even know this team, I don't even think this team has an identity. Like, we don't even know who they are or anything like that. So that has to be frustrating as well.
Right. There's no real star power. I mean, this year they'll have a chance to do it if Grissom becomes the bat we want him to be, if Casas basically just picks up where he left off and gives you a full consistent season. You got Devers. I think Yoshida is probably going to have a better year. So it could look sexier at the end, you know, if the pitching can hold up. But Gabby.
So my question is, if Devers isn't your leader, who is?
It's hard. I mean, Trevor Story is the next more tenured veteran, and he's going to be there a while because he's got 4 years left.
I don't even really count him. That sounds so terrible. I just, like, I feel like he really wasn't there enough last year for me to be like, yeah, like, he's our guy. Like, no, he's not.
It sounds bad because it is bad. But, Lori, go ahead.
Would it fall to either Casas or, and this is going to sound odd, but Hauk? I mean, I feel like Hauk got a little bit of that leadership spirit in him. But Casas doesn't strike me as a type that could step into that role either. But he's been full of surprises from day one. So who knows where he could go with anything.
I feel like Casas is like slowly becoming a fan favorite. I like see a lot of talk about him like on social media. My concern is that he's still very new, and I feel like putting that kind of pressure on him would be way too much.
But he seems like an old soul. Like, you know, so, I mean, you bring up a good point, but I just feel like he's a dark horse. You know what I mean? Like, he's full of surprises. And so if he did step into it, I wouldn't be shocked.
It just feels like he hasn't figured himself out yet. You know, he's always changing his image. You know, the fingernails thing, you know, polishing them was a little controversial and apparently might have rubbed. Well, actually, I don't think that rubbed his teammates the wrong way, but he was annoying guys like JD and I think Matt Barnes with some of his, you know, unconventional antics and all that. So I think Casas is trying to figure himself out. And I was brutal with Casas last year on the podcast, on social media. And despite all of that, he's still untouchable to me. And he was at that point. He's going to be a cornerstone guy, whether he's a leader or not. He will be a cornerstone guy. My only concern is he did have some injuries in the minors that hasn't really cropped up yet. At the big league club, he is a naturally big guy. So, I mean, you see guys like Judge and Stanton, you know, are prone to injuries. So perhaps Casas could be, you know, in that realm, but still, I just think he's going to be too big of a, part of our future. And we've been screaming from the mountaintops, every single one of us on the podcast, get that extension done. Doesn't sound like it's gonna, but hopefully by the end of next winter, that's like, he's going to have all the leverage after next winter. If the team doesn't get it done.
Lori. Yeah. I mean, I think there's, oh, sorry.
It's okay.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I feel like the longer they wait and drag it out, the more money he's going to ask for. And exactly. I feel like they really, you know, kick themselves with the Devers contract because they waited as long as possible and instead of getting it done early. And yeah, I feel like it's going to be Devers 2.0.
Yeah, that was going to be my point. I'd like to get Casas locked up and Bayo locked up. If we can just get them locked in, I would feel a whole lot better because it could be the whole Devers situation all over again.
Bayo, it sounds like they're close on him. I haven't seen anything in the last few days, but it sounded like there was a lot more momentum behind him. But Kayla, go ahead. Oh, she might be frozen. But I think we're just past. Oh, here she is again. But Kayla, do you have any thoughts?
I actually completely forgot what my thoughts were because my internet has been so wonky.
Well, we were just kind of talking about Casas and all of them.
Yeah. I mean, I think Casas or Hauk could be, you know, if it's not Devers as a leader, those are two good choices as, you know, the next, you know, choices for leaders. I would lean more towards Hauk. I don't know. I just feel like he has a little bit more of that grit to him. But either or, I feel like could fill that role.
Yeah. The thing with Hauk that I've always loved, and I'm one of the few guys on the crew that does want to see him have one last chance as a starter, but he's just so calm in the moment. Like Whitlock, you can see the stress, like it's coming off of him, and Bogaerts would have to come in and kind of calm him down a little bit. With Hauk, it might not be going well, but he's calm out there and he's not getting rattled. And I like that, you know, and that does kind of give leadership vibes going forward. And I mean, who else is it going to be? I mean, Bayo, I think, is going to be an outspoken guy. So maybe perhaps, you know, he could fit that, you know. But Giolito, short term, there's no one real long term that I think could be a voice there. Gabby?
So if you would put Casas in the leadership role, would you also consider someone like Jaren Duran? Because I think he could do it. If we were to like keep him and not trade him away, like, do you think he has what it takes to fill that position?
Not yet, because he's in survival mode. He's doing everything he can do to try to force them to put him into that lineup. And Alex Cora did say he thinks Duran is going to be the leadoff guy. So that's a big endorsement. So I just feel like he needs one more season of close to what he did last year. And then at that point, who knows? The sky's the limit. Lori?
I think he's also someone who needs to figure out exactly who he is. I think he needs a little bit more maturity and understanding of exactly who he is in the MLB. I just want to see more stability with that before he would be put in that kind of a position.
Yeah, I mean, he's my favorite player to watch, other than Devers. I mean, if I'm going to wear a jersey, it's probably Devers. But aside from that, I want to – Jaren Duran coming to the plate is, like, the most exciting thing to me. I'm like, oh, my God, what's he going to do? Are there guys on? Are they going to move him? Is he going to hit a short blooper into right field and get a double out of it? Like, is he going to just draw a walk maybe and then just steal the bag just at will? Like, there's just so many ways Duran can affect the game. Kayla, do you have your hand up? I think her internet is just... here she is again. We were just talking about Duran. Did you have any thoughts, Kayla?
Yeah, I was thinking about the fact that, you know, I don't think right now he would be good for like leadership role, because I feel like he's in like a prove it kind of like mode. Like, he's trying to prove himself to the fans and to everybody that, you know, he does belong and he, you know, deserves it. So I think like right now wouldn't be a good time. Maybe in the future, once he, you know, like you guys said, figures himself out, he might, you know, be a good fit for that if he stayed with us.
Hopefully. I think at this point, if he was going to be traded, he would have been. And I think he's safe until July or so. And then, you know, he might be fair game again for a trade. But we are at 1 hour and 7 minutes. It goes fast. So any final thoughts before we do wrap? Lori?
I'm just grateful that you guys are willing to do this, even on an annual basis. It's just refreshing to be able to hear things from the female perspective when it comes to Red Sox Nation stuff. So thank you guys for doing this.
We don't have openings that often on the crew, as you guys know, but every time we cast the wide net, I usually have a short list, and then everybody on the short list usually tells me no for one reason or another. So very highly rejected there. Micah was the first one ever to say yes. There were two females, though, in front of him that I did reach out to, because that's something I covet. I want to have a diverse crew. I want it to be universally appealing to everyone. But none of them ever pop up in the process. So, you know, it is what it is. Not for lack of trying. I mean, I'm totally, totally open to it. But yeah, Gabby, final thoughts?
I mean, maybe not a final thought. This might take a minute, but am I the only one who is just, I haven't been able to fully jump on the Devers bandwagon. Like, I feel like he's been such a head case since he came up, and I feel like he's inconsistent, and I get so stressed when he comes up to the plate, because I'm like, what are we gonna get from him this time? I don't know. But I feel like everybody's so gung-ho about him, and I missed the memo, I guess. I don't know.
He, ever since Mookie left, he just hasn't had, you know, he needs a, and I guess Mookie wouldn't be the best example because he was hitting in front of Devers, but he just hasn't had that right-handed bat. He had Martinez for a little while, but if the pitcher isn't afraid of the guy coming after Devers, Devers isn't going to get anything to hit. He, you know, they're going to nitpick the outer parts of the zone. And then the one drawback to Devers we've seen the last year and a half is he tries to do too much at the plate. He just needs to simplify it. Just drive the ball. It doesn't have to go over the fence. And so hopefully he settles into that. But I'm confident that at some point before the end of his contract, which runs for, I think, another 10 years, he'll win an MVP. I really believe that.
I hope you're right, because I think it would be a huge waste if he did.
Yeah. He's always, you know, right around, he's in the 8 to 10 range on the MVP list every year. So he just needs that breakout season, but he needs the right guys around him as well. So,
yeah, I feel like he really needs like a spark underneath him. I mean, that's the thing. I feel like the team really hasn't had like a big spark. Like, think about like back when like Benintendi, Mookie, you know, all those guys were in the outfield and they were just like loving the game. And, you know, you don't really see that anymore. Like, you don't see that same energy.
You know, I thought Wind Dance Repeat was the dumbest thing. I'm like, I'd roll my eyes. And now I'm like, man, it really wasn't that bad compared to what you're looking at.
It was the bonding. Like, what do they do for like team bonding anymore?
Yeah.
You know, like they don't click. They don't mesh. It's almost like they don't even like each other. They're just playing in sequence.
Yeah. Lori's going nuts. You can go nuts off mute if you want.
All the yeses. I loved Wind Dance Repeat because it was the love of the game. They were just happy playing, and nothing brings a fan more joy than to see that in their players. And I can't believe, well, I guess it doesn't surprise me that you didn't like it, because you're a grump and you don't like that kind of stuff. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm a purist, I guess. But Dennis Eckersley follows me, but he's only liked one tweet ever. And it was in late 2017, we were going to get Martinez or we were going to get Stanton. Stanton was complicated because it would have been via a trade. Martinez, we could sign straight up for money. And there was some momentum behind Stanton for a little while. And I tweeted out just randomly. I said, Wind Dance Repeat's going to look pretty goofy if Stanton's in it. Cause you know, he's like 3 feet taller than all of our outfielders. And that was the one tweet Eckersley liked. So I was like, yeah, this is pretty good. Yeah. All right. So we are going to, I get the feeling we could talk baseball all night, but we are going to wrap hour and 13 minutes now. So we are patiently waiting for the Jordan Montgomery verdict. It might not be until 5 years from now. That's what it feels like, but we're waiting for it. If anything develops, we'll be back. I would say no later than Sunday anyway. So hopefully everybody's having a good week. Hopefully everybody enjoyed this winter's ladies' night episode. Have a great weekend. Take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as 1 day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. LeafHome.com/water.